Okay, we're going to begin the new perek, bottom of Samach Vav on the days. So this perek and the next one are going to be talking about a concept that we've touched on a little bit before in the Masechta, but now here, from here basically to almost to the end of the Masechta, is where it's really going to be dealt with in depth. This is the concept of really, when the Torah talks about the whole concept of Nedarim, the whole idea that a person has to keep his neder is just one pasuk over there. Kachol ayir ish ki yudah neder, ayishav ha-shvua, lo yachol dvorek, kachol ayir tim piv yaseh. Within that, you have the word lo yachol dvorek, which we learn from that. That's one of the sources that we learn the concept of Atarat Nedarim, which are, all of that has been taking up the whole Masechta so far. Yep. The whole rest of Parshas Nedarim deals with the various cases where a girl or a woman makes a neder. There's three sections that the Torah talks about over there. One is when a naira makes a neder. The isha if you see the neder l'Hashem, so she makes a neder while she's a naira, still living at home. Then her father has the right to be mefer her neder. Mefer means that he basically vetoes it.
Question I have: is it really a neder?
Of course. Once she's a naira, once she's bas mitzvah already, it's 100% a neder. Once a boy is bar mitzvah, or a girl is bat mitzvah. But not only that, we've touched on before, and again, it's going to be discussed in these two prakim, that for 1 year before bar or bat mitzvah, they're called mufla ha-somach le-ish, le-isha, I guess, that if during that year, if they make a neder, and you ask them, and they say, we know that a neder we're addressing it to Hashem, we're making a promise in Hashem's name, then the neder is chal. So yes, if it's a tana or a naira, but still unmarried, that is living at home, that has a father, then her father has the right to be mefer, to veto the neder.
Good one.
That's the way the Torah says. I'll tell you later as we go through over here. We're going to see a certain there's an interesting sicha where the Rebbe talks about an interesting detail in this halacha. Anyway, that's case number one. Case number two, then the Torah says, "Vim hayesia le'ish." Now, if a woman becomes literally hayesia, she becomes to a man. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that she's only arusa, or does it mean she's nesua? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. The maskana is, and that's what the halacha is. It's talking about when she's arusa. Then the pasuk mentions that her husband can veto the neder. We learn, as we're going to learn through the Gemara, that actually meaning her arus. But actually, we're going to learn in the Gemara that it really has to be both them. Both her father and her arus together have to agree that the neder should be vetoed, that the neder should be mufred. Because it's kind of in the quasi in both Rishosin, right. And then case number three, the pasuk says, being base isha nadara, if she makes a neder when she's in her husband's house, meaning already when she's in a sua, then only her husband has veto rights over her neder. That's the basic thing. That's the basic way the Torah describes it. Then, in each of these three cases, the Torah describes that in each case, if instead of being mefer it, if the father or the arus or the two of them, as the case may be, were making it, meaning, and actually, there's three things that the husband or the father can do with the daughter or the wife's neder. You know, sort of Lahavdil, and you know, in American politics and the Constitution, you have three things that the president can do when a bill is sent to him. By Congress. He can agree to it and sign it. He can veto it and say, I don't want her, and say, I don't agree with it. Or he can call it a pocket veto, like he can say, I'm ignoring this. And then the rule is after a certain period of time, it takes effect, whatever. La halacha, in this kind of situation, we have a similar concept. There's three possible things that the husband or the father can do. He can be mefer. He can say, no, I don't want this neder to be in effect. I veto it. That's hafara. On the other hand, he can be mekayimit. He can say good for you. That was a good neder, and then the neder is completely in effect, and he can't take it back afterwards. He can't veto it afterwards. Or the third case is he has only miyoyim el yoyim, which later on, as the Gemara is going to go through in this parak and the next parak, it's going to explain that each of them has only until the end of the day when the neder was made. So if the neder was made, what? Well, the day that they heard. Right. Sorry. Yeah. From when they hear about the neder, from then until the end of that day, they have the time to do hafara. If they don't,
the husband or the father.
If they don't during that period, if they sort of pocket veto it, they say, you know what, I'm not paying attention to it. I'm not going to be mekayim and say good for you. I'm not going to be mefer and say no, I don't like this.
Valid.
Then at the end of the day, once it comes sunset, then it automatically becomes valid.
So it's a default neder.
Sort of a default then, yeah. So. Yeah. So those are the basic concepts behind. Those are the basic concepts involved in a father or a husband being made for his wife.
Let me ask you a question. What is the point in the father validating the neder if by default?
So that's the difference. If he validates it, then even if later on that day he changes his mind and says, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't want it after all, too late.
And
actually, we're going to just. If he doesn't do anything, then he still has till the end of that day.
But up to the end of the day.
After the end of the day, you're right. There's nothing he can do anyway. That's what we're talking about. Fine. After the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference. What being the Kayan, actually, we're going to talk about right away in the Mishnah over here and in the Gemara on it. We're going to discuss a little bit what one thing already that we see that a Kiyum accomplishes that just being quiet does not accomplish. Wait, we'll get to it. We'll see. So the Mishnah says, and then again, as the Gemara goes through from here until the end of the Masechta, the next 20 odd blocks is going to discuss all the different angles on this whole business of Hafara, including also the difference between, there's also going to be discussed the difference between Hafara of a father or a husband and Haftarah that a Chacham does. The difference is, we've talked about before, that a Chacham, when he's Matir a Neder, he's Oiker a Neder Mikore. He makes it as if there was never a Neder there in the first place, which we'll talk about soon, though there's a Ram that discusses the relevance of it to our situation over here. As opposed to the husband or the father, the expression of the Gemara is Megas Gaias. He cuts off. From now on, the Neder is not in effect once he vetoes it, once he was made for it. But up until then, it was still in effect, yeah. As a matter of fact, Rashi brings on the pasuk later on. The Gemara is going to bring it eventually. Rashi brings on the pasuk. In each of the cases, the pasuk says, "Hashem yislach la." Hashem will forgive her. Now, what do you mean? If the husband or the father was made for the neder, what's there to forgive her for? So the vort is, suppose, for example, she made the neder, then the father, let's say, was made for it without her knowledge even. She didn't know it was mufur. She went and ate whatever it was that she was usher in. Nevertheless, because he was made, so she thought she's doing something wrong, she thought she's being over on her neder, but because her father had already been made for it without her knowledge, then Hashem Yisach Hashem will forgive her for the fact that she thought she was doing an Aveda and really she wasn't.
In other words, she doesn't have to be aware of the father's...
But the point is, in other words, that up until that point, she is. Up until the father was made for the neder, if she were to break it, sure, she'd be Chayav Malchus just like anybody else, yeah. Okay, so that's called Megas Gaias, yeah. Called that Megas Gaias, that the father or the husband cuts off the validity of the neder from now on. But up until that point, it was in effect. The Mishnah says, Naira Hamorosa, Avio Baila Mefir Nedereha. A Naira Hamorosa, so again, she's a Naira between six months back of puberty. Usually we define it as usually puberty is age 12, that's mitzvah, so from 12 to 12 and a half. So now, if she's a naira, but she's also hamarasa, she's an arusa to her husband. Avio b'ilam afir nederah. Then her husband, her father, and her husband together, as the Gemara is going to describe, need to be made for her nedarim. Together, by the way, doesn't mean actually that she's standing there together. It just means that each of them has to agree to be made for it. It could be, for example, one of them
separately.
Yeah, there's a machlokas rishonim whether it works. What happens, for example, if the father was made for it one day and the husband was made for it the next day because he didn't know about it that day? Does that work, or does it all at least have to be on the same day? Hefer ha'av la hefer ha'bal. What happens if the father was made for, the father vetoed the neder, but the husband did not? So not loy hefer. The pashtus means that he was just quiet. He didn't say anything. He didn't specifically say, good for you, but he also didn't say, I veto it. Or, hey for aval, v'lai hey for av, or if the husband was made for, but not the father, ain't a mufer, then the neder is not canceled. The enter chlema shakia mechaman, and needless to say that this is the same thing would apply if one of them was actually mekayim, if one of them said, good, this is a good neder. Then, of course, well, that's the Gemara we're going to discuss, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it obvious? Why does the Mishnah have to tell us? Yeah.
Right,
that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. We have a reason. The Mishnah is actually teaching us something. Yeah. So first, though, let's go back a little bit. Before we even get to the Ein Tzarich Loimar, even the second clause of the Mishnah seems to be redundant. If the first part said you need Ovio Bailum Afin and Nerea, then already to say that if the father is made for and not the husband, or vice versa, that it's not Mufer, of course. That's the very definition of Aviyom Ma'alim Afir Nederah. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Reisha Aviyom Ma'alim Afir Nederah. Isn't the second part of the Mishnah, the Hefer Avla, Hefer Abal, etc., isn't that restating exactly what it said before, Aviyom Ma'alim? The answer is Ma'ud Tema. The answer is because we might have thought, Oy Aviyom Oy Ba'alim Katsani. No, because the Avav doesn't always mean and. Sometimes a Vav between two things means or. both in Lashon Torah and in Lashon Chachamim. For example, you know, you have the pasuk of Makal of Vima and Mos Yumas, doesn't mean that he has to curse both his mother and his father to be chayev. Kabbalah of the Asimecha, for that matter, yeah. So there's lots of examples where Vav can mean or. And in Lashon Chachamim also. So if we didn't have the next part of the Mishnah, we would have thought when it says Avio Baila Mafir in the Zareh, it might mean that it's not one or the other. If we didn't have that, if we just had Avio Baila Mafir in the Zareh without the next clause of the Mishnah, we might have understood it to mean that you need either the father or the husband. That is good enough. And actually, the Gemara is going to be discussing over here the possibilities. Maybe we should think we only need one and not the other. Maybe you could have, let's say, that the father has the power by himself, but if the husband does it, then the father also has to do it, or whatever. Various permutations like that. So that's the Kamash Malon. That's why the Mishnah has to actually tell us the case where one of them was not Mefer.
Is this
all Deraisa? This is all Deraisa. That's what I'm saying. It's all spelled out over there in Parshas Matos.
Both the husband and the father.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, let me clarify that. The pasuk doesn't actually spell out in so many words. That's what the Gemara is going to be discussing soon. That's what we're going to spend the rest of this Amud and the whole next Amud, as well as tomorrow, discussing how Taka we know this halacha.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's what, you know what? Let's bring over a Chumash.
Let's bring over a Chumash. And we discuss it, and then understand. We need to have a discussion.
Okay, so then the Mishnah continued, Ve'ein tzarech lehem shekiyah mechad mehen, that needless to say, if one of them was mekayim, if one of them upheld it by saying it's a good neder, lamali lemishna. So why did the Mishnah need to mention that part? Hashtag yesh loimer hefer zeh b'lai zeh b'lai klum. So before we get to that, by the way, let me just mention one brief thing about the previous part that we might have thought of, since it says Avio Baila Mafir in the Dera, it might have meant both of them to get, might have meant only one or the other, not necessarily both. So the Rosh asks, why didn't the Mishnah just simply use the word Yachdov? Say Avio Baila Mafir in the Dera Yachdov. And that would clarify that it means both of them together. The answer is, he just answers that's not the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Yachdov is a Lashon of Pasuk. It's not a normal Lashon of the Mishnah.
True. But it seems like the Mishnah, by intent, wants to be unclear.
No, but that's by putting the second part, it's clarifying it. Okay. So now why do we need to mention Kiyah Mechad Mehem Lomelim Mishnah? Hashi Yesh Lehem Hefer Zebelai Zebelai Klum. If you're saying in the previous part of the Mishnah that if one of them did the Hafara without the other, it doesn't help. Kiyah Mechad Mehem Lomeli. So why should the Mishnah have to mention the specifically the case where one of them was Mekayim?
What works both for Kiyah doesn't necessarily work for us.
No, but that's the point. In other words, once we know that if one of them was not Mefer, that one of them was just quiet, and then the end of the day came, that it doesn't help. So how much more so if in the middle of the day one of them actually said, well, actually it was Mekayim, and how much more so that it should, that it's not Mufur? What does the Mishnah need to say? The Mishnah itself uses the word Ve'in Tzarech Lomer. The answer is Ki Itzarech Le, because the Mishnah has to tell us the case. You're going to Hefer Echad Mehem V'Kiyim Echad. Suppose you have a case like this. One of them was Mefer the Neder. One of them said, one of them says, no good, I don't want it. V'Kiyim Echad. The other one says, no, on the contrary, I do want it. But then V'Chazer HaMekayim V'Nisho Ala Kamaseh. Now the one who was Mekayim went and was Matur Neder on his Hakama. Because, as we're going to discuss later on in this Perek, you have, the same way as you make a regular Neder, you're able to be Matur Neder by a Chacham or Shloisha Adyotis, the same thing applies to the Hakama. If, in the case, for example, so here we're talking about a case where you need both the father and the husband. But let's say, let's take a simpler case where it's only the father or only the husband involved over here. She's a Naira, not Moirasa, and only the father has Rishus over her Nedarim. If the father was Mekayim her Neder, he still has the option that same day of going and being Matur Neder. Well, that's what we're talking about in the case of Naira Moirasa. I'm saying, let's clarify over here again. Remember, we have three situations. We have a Naira who is not Moirasa, where it's only her father, a Naira who is Moirasa, who is both her father and her husband, and a Nesua, where it's only the husband.
So
I'm just saying, if you think about it, in the first and last cases, when in the first and last cases, when you have only one of them needs to do the hafara, only the father in the first case, naira or nesua, as the case may be, right? So then only the father or only the husband. Now in that case, if the father, for example, is mefer, not mefer, if he's mekayim, he says good for you. Later on, he's able to go to be matir neder that. He's able to go and say to a chacham, you know, I didn't realize by being mekayim that neder, I didn't realize that now it's going to be permanent, I didn't realize the consequences of the neder, whatever it is, and the chacham can be matir just like a regular neder. So now, returning to our case over here, the middle case, now, again, suppose you have, for example, the father is mefer, the arus is mekayim, then he goes and is matir neder on his hakama. The one who was mekayim goes in his matir neder on his hakama. So v'chazer hamekayim v'nishal al hakamasa. So he goes and asks the matir neder his hakama. Ma'u detema ma'i de'ukei ha'akre. So now you would think, okay, well, he was mekayim, it's fine, but he undid that. By being matir neder, he took away his hakama as if it never existed. So therefore, you would think at that point, he's able to, at that point, it's good. At that point, it should be good. No, the chiddush is that both of them have to be mefer at the same time. Again, meaning b'masachas doesn't literally mean at the same time. No, it doesn't. That's the thing. Whether it means the same day is machlokes rishonim. What the Gemara is saying over here, it has to be that both hafaras are in the same state. Meaning, in other words, if you have when the father was mefer and then the arus was mekayim, at that point, basically, it's as if. We have to say at that point that the father's hafara has disappeared. The father's hafara is not going to be of any effect at this point because it's opposed by a kiyum on the part of the husband. So even the husband took away his kiyum, still that original hafara is already gone. So that's what the Ram discusses over here. So there's a machlokes rishonim on this part also. So suppose we have like this, for example. Okay, so now you're asking, can he be mefer again? So the Ran says yes. So the Ran says again, if you have the father was mefer, the husband was mekayim and then was matir neder, and now he's mefer. So we're saying so far the Gemara is saying that's no good.
He was
mekayim then matir, and now he's mefer.
Because in between was a
kiyum. So now at that point, though, the Ram says, if the father at that point were to be mefer again, then we'd be good. Because now we don't have anything interrupting between the two hafaras. We have the hafara of the husband, which is following his piyum and hatara, so that took away his piyum. And you have another hafara from the father, so now you're good.
No,
according to the Ram, that is good. The only problem, according to the Ram, would be if there was a hafara, if there's a piyum and a hatara in between the two hafaras. Without another hafara. Again, remember, you only have till the end of the day. So, you know, the father was mefer. Later on that same day, let's say the arus was mekayim, and then by the time he was able to be matir neder, it's late in the day, and now he's mefer. The father may not have a chance to be mefer again that day. So that would be the case where the Ram says it's a problem. On the other, but if the father did have a chance to be mefer again together, then it would be fine. According to the Ram, the Rambam says no. It's not just the Ram. The Ramban also holds that way. So the Ram and the Ramban hold that way. The Rambam holds differently. The Rambam holds that no, if you have a hakama in between, then no, even doing another hafara afterwards is not going to help. So if you had your father's hafara, the husband's hakama, and then hatara, and then another hafara, too late, right? His hafara, after all that, is not strong enough even if the father were to be mefer again at that point. That's the husband's hafara is not strong enough to combine because there was that kiyum, because it was preceded by that kiyum and hatara.
Hatara sadara. Hafara, what's the difference between hafara and hatara?
That's what he just said. Hafara is what the husband or the father does. Hatara is what a chacham does. And there's a difference. I just mentioned before that Hatara is you're being oikeret to begin with, as if there was never any neder over there. Hafara is you're just saying from now on the neder is not in effect. And we're going to learn later on, it's going to discuss that there's a difference in Lashon also. If the husband were to say to his wife, Mutalach, that doesn't work. And if the Chacham were to say to a person who comes to be Matthew Neder, Mufarlach, it also doesn't work. Each one has to use their particular Lashon.
That's what the Hafara after a kill
is a Shema, according to the Rambam, right. Right. So therefore it can't. Therefore, even if the father were to go and do another hafara, at that point, too late. Yeah. Which then brings the Ran to the question. I mean, so how? Actually, the question from the Rashba that he brings. So how come Taka? I mean, so according to either way of looking at it, what are you saying? You're saying that the Kiyum and then the Hatara cancels the original hafara. Why? I mean, if we're saying that the Chacham takes away the original neder as if it never existed, and we know that applies in other cases. For example, we have a case where a man is makadosh a woman almanach that she doesn't have any dorim. It turns out she has nedarim. We said the kedushin are not chal because it was a mekachtos. But if she were to go and be mater neder, then it would be fine, because then the nedarim are taken away lachatzila. So we see our Torah takes away the neder to begin with. So why don't we say the same thing over here? If the husband or the father goes and is mater neder on his kiyum, so it takes it away as if it never existed. So why doesn't that re-strengthen the hafara? The difference is that Rashba says like this. When it comes to kedushin, Kedushin is an actual action. Therefore, yes, in between there were nedarim, but when the chacham takes away the nedarim, that allows that original strong maisa of kedushin to come into effect. It's as if the maisa was sitting there in suspense all this time. It couldn't take effect because of the nedarim, because of the tanai. But once the nedarim are taken away, then that strong maisa of kedushin can reassert itself. Here we're talking about just a statement. A hafara is just a statement. I don't like this neder. I veto it. A hafara sanzorim is not strong enough to re-strengthen that hafara to the way it was originally and allow it to combine together with the hafara that came before it.
In a case in kedushin only.
So that's the difference between kedushin in our case over here. So we do say indeed that the chacham takes away the neder as if it never existed. But on the other hand, that's good enough to make a maaser take effect, but not good enough to make just a dibur take effect. Okay. Mishnah said, "Vanaira amayrosa viro balu mafirin nedera." That a naira amayrosa that her father and her husband, which as we said together, have to be made for her nedarim. Menolon, sataka. Where do we know that? Omer Rabba or Rava. Now the pasuk says like this. Again, remember we have three sections that the Torah describes over there. One is the first one is v'isha kisidu neder l'Hashem v'asra isra b'veisa via v'nurel. So clearly that one is talking about before she's married, b'veisa via. Second one says v'imhoye siya l'ish, if she is to a man, undarehala, which we don't know yet. But we don't know yet. Does that mean that she's only an arusa, or does it mean she's in a nesua? And in that case, the pasuk only mentions her husband, v'shama isha. Etc. Doesn't say anything about the father. And then we have the third section being based ishach nadara. She makes a neder in her husband's house, and then again it mentions the husband. So you have the three parts are naira, hoyesila ish, and based isha. And the three parties that it mentions over there are father, husband, and husband. So how do we know that in the middle case it means not only the husband but also the father? So Omakrov,
the father, husband, and husband.
Right. So how do we know that in the second case it's not only the husband but also the father? Because the pasuk says, if she becomes to a man, meaning in other words that she has now a kedushin with the man, and she has nedarim on her. From this we see that a naira hamayrosa, both her father and her husband have to be made for her neder.
Why?
Now, why? So the Ran says, because the pasuk starts, that section starts off with a vav. Ze'im hoye sila ish. So it's called vav moisif al inyan rishon. That vav teaches us that the second part is adding to what we already had in the first part. The first part mentioned that the father has to cancel. Now the second part is adding also the husband in the second situation has to cancel, has to be made for. One of the Mefarshim, maybe a Sabak, but Allah, I think, also points out that the last words of the previous section, the first section, are Kiheni Avia Oisa, that her father canceled her neder. Then it's right after that, V'im Hoye Sila Ish. So it's as if like we take that last half of the pasuk and combine it with the next part to say that it means that the father still has to have a role to play in the second part. Question is, Ema Hai Krub in a Suruksir. Why? Say that second part, Vim Hoya Sila Ish, is talking about she's already married, and then the father has nothing to do with it, then it's only the husband. The answer is Krah Chinuchsiv. Fine, but we have the third part, being based Isha Nadara, that it says if she's in her husband's house. So if the third part, when she's in her husband's house, obviously means she's in the Suwa. Necessarily, the second part must be she's in an Arusa, yeah.
Well,
it has to mean that she's an Arusa. Right. And given the Vav Moisif al Inyan Rishon, that teaches us that an Arusa is different than an Asua. An Asua is only her husband. An Arusa has to be both. Okay. Ema Tabayu bin Asua. Why? Let's say that both of them, in fact, are talking about an Asua. The Chitema Tre Kroi bin Asua Lamli. Fine, then why do we need two Pesukim or two whole sections about an Asua? It would be, we would say one of them is telling us just the basic fact that the husband has to cancel the neder.
If you're saying that the middle one talks about
an if we're going to say that the middle one is talking about the nesua, and the last one is talking about a nesua, then we would say, so what's the chiddush? Why is the pasuk repeating it twice? Because we would say one of them is to teach us the basic concept that the husband can be made for his wife's nedari. And the other one is, lemeimer she'ein abal made for b'kodmin. The other one might be to teach us the din, that the husband is not able to cancel previous nedarim that she had before she got married. Namely, why? Because in that third section, it starts out, the imbeis ishah nadara. The second part says, v'im hayasil ish undareha alah. She gets married, and there are nedarim on her. The third part says, v'im beis ishah nadara, if she made the neder in her husband's house. So we might argue both of them are talking about an asura, and the second one is clarifying for us that you should know it only works if she made the neder in her husband's house, meaning after she's married him. If she were to make the neder beforehand, then the husband is not able to cancel it. So maybe that's why we need both sections. So both of them are talking about an asura, not like we're assuming that one's an arusa, one's an asura. Both of them are an asura, and in both of them it's saying that the husband cancels, nothing about the father, because it doesn't actually say the father in the second part. That's the second part, right? But we're saying maybe there's a third. So that's the thing. Undareha aleha maybe just means okay, she has nedarim on her. It doesn't necessarily not necessarily telling us whether they existed beforehand or not. This is the last part by explicitly saying the base isha nedara would be you should know it only works if it's base isha.
So we know that the middle case and the third case
should be talking about a nesua then it would seem. The answer is that no. No, because you would realize that explicitly from the psukim. In other words, just exactly the very fact that it says being based ishah nadara means that a husband is only able to cancel his wife's nadarim if she made them while they're already married. So we don't need a repetition in order to tell us that. We already know that from the third part. Therefore, we don't need this. Therefore, we wouldn't have needed the second part. If we have a second part and a third part, it can only be that one is in Arusa and one is in Asura. Because otherwise, we don't need the second part at all. It could just jump straight to Vivek Isha Nadara, and we know from there everything that we need to know.
And therefore, it cannot be the same case.
Right. So therefore, it has to be that one's Kiddushin and one's Nisuin.
What's the matter? It's 9 o'clock. No, there's still the regular minion at 9:30. We'll be fine. Okay.
Which actually, I mean, the Ran points out, it's not really so much asking a question and then like having to explain itself all this time. When we started saying out that we have one talking about an arusa, one talking about an asura, the Gemara knew it had to be that. We're clarifying through the question and answer format, trying to establish the logic, right? But not like we're asking a question as if like we have to reject an original assumption and then restate it.
We knew the answer, but we didn't know the way.
Right. Yeah. Another way we can look at it. You know how you know the second part is talking about kedushin? Simple. The habaya kedushin mashma. Because when the pasuk says v'im hoyosia leish, the word hoyosia that shodesh habaya means kedushin. Doesn't mean nesuin. The yachts of the ish achar, for example,
Would mean either nisuin or.
Generally speaking, it means erisin. Now, so the Ran points out there are places where it does mean nisuin. For example, in the case of we learned in Yevamos in the dinim of who a kohen, which relative a kohen is allowed to become tamei for, he's allowed to be metame for his sister, which he's only in arusa. Not when she's in a suah, because when the pasuk says, there we say that poisa means married, nesua. So granted, usually we say that Havaya means Kedushin. The Yotzev HaHoysel Le'ishachar, that's the famous comparison, the famous Hekesh that we say that some of the dinim of Gerushin are similar to the dinim of Kedushin. For example, that's where we know that Kedushin can be Bishtar, just like Gerushin is Bishtar, etc. Given that we're saying, again, given that we mentioned Vav Moisif al Inyan Rishin, that the second part has to be combined together with the first part, meaning the father has a role to play in the second part, then it can't mean Nisuin, because obviously after Nisuin, the father has no more business involved over here. She's completely in her husband's rishus. Number two, also, again, if you were to say, that, back to the point that we said before, if you were to say that Hol Yitzia means that she's in Nisua, then you don't need the third part, who being basically Shemadara. So taking all that together, it has to be then, by elimination, it has to be him hoyasiya le'ish, that hoyasiya has the normal meaning of kedushin. And there you go then, there's an actual statement in the pasuk, that him hoyasiya, that tells us that it's a case of kedushin. So now we know then what each of the three paragraphs there in the Torah is talking about. One's talking about a Naira before Erisin, one's talking about a Naira during Erisin, and one's talking about a Nesua of any age. Okay. Now though, fine, so once she's a Begeris, regardless whether she's married or not, her father has no Rishos over her. When the Mishnah So it's like this. When she's a katana within the year before Bas Mitzvah, if she knows who she made the neder for, then if she's not an arusa, then it's only the father, and if it's an arusa, then it's her father and her husband. If it's a naira, same thing. If she's not married at that point, if she's not an arusa or married yet, then nobody has any rishus over her, and she would have to get her nedarim canceled and based in like anybody else.
Right.
If she's married, then her husband cancels her nedarim.
If she did miyun
when she was tana,
yeah,
fine. So then, I mean, miyun. So what's the case of miyun? Is her father's dead? So obviously her father isn't the one who married her off anyway. If he married her off, there's no possibility of miyun. Miyun is only if her brother or mother's, or if her mother or brother's married her off. So let's see then. I mean, so she's a katana, but she's not b'shusah because her father's dead. So yeah, then there's nobody to be made for her nedarim either.
Therefore,
she just has to go to Beis Din. Same as a regular. Yes, to chacham, yes, to Beis Din. Okay. So now that we've established that, now the next question is, fine, but let's go back. You're telling me, as the Ran is saying, because of that Vav Moisif al Inyan Rishon, because it starts off Im Hayasiya Le'ish, therefore you're saying the father has a role to play in the second part. But actually, first of all, who says? But not so much who says, but fine. Let's start with the assumption. Ema Av L'chude Mefer, fine. Maybe what it means is like this. Given that you're talking a Naira Marosa, she's not completely out of her father's rishus. You're telling me in the Mishnah that both the father and the husband have equal roles to play. Both of them have to be Mefer. If either of them fails to be Mefer, let alone Mekayim, then no good. How do we know it means that? Maybe what it means is like this. Since she's still, to a certain extent, Birshus Ha'av, maybe we should assume that it means like this. What is the pasuk telling us with that, Bob? It's telling us the father still has the full role. The father still has the full role. It mentions Vishama Isha, so it mentions the husband has a role. All it means, maybe, is that the husband's role is limited to the fact that if he would have been Mekayim the neder, then the father can't cancel it. But maybe the pasuk is telling us. How do we know the pasuk is saying that he actually has to be mefer in order for the father's father to work as well? The two of them combined together. Maybe it means as long as he wasn't mekayim, if he was just quiet, then fine. The father's hafara alone takes effect. How do you know that it means that he actually has to be mefer along with the father? It's kind of like like tefasta merubah like tefasta. The pasuk doesn't spell out what the husband's role is. It just mentions that if he's quiet, then the neder is kayim. Then the next fine. The next pasuk says v'im shmei isha yoni oisa, that if he cancels the neder. But again, maybe all it means is that it's good enough if he's quiet. Then father's hafara alone takes effect. Only if he's mekayim, then he's able to oppose the father's hafara. That's the question. That's the question. Ema ad l'chudin meifer, maybe the father alone, by in the case of a naira amir also, can do that far all by himself. The answer is, im kain, v'osra isa beis abiyah, yoni yoysa lomali. Fine, then why does the pasuk have to mention v'chalal by the father? If that's the case, then going back to the first section, why would the pasuk have to mention that the father can be made for her nedarim? We would be able to make a kavachomer. If you're going to tell me in the second case the father alone can be made for, how much more so in the first case when there's no kedushin even? The father has full reshus over her. How much more so he could cancel her nedarim all by himself? So the pasuk wouldn't have had to mention anything about the father the first time. The fact that it does implies when she's a ktana or a naira before kedushin. So therefore, by the fact that the Torah does mention it, implies that now at the second time around, when the second case, when she's a married also, when she's mekudeshet, the father still has a role, but his role and the father still has a role, but his role is a little different than the first time, not quite as strong in the sense that the husband also has to be made for as well. How about then, we could say the other way around, actually that's the continuation of the discussion, how much more so if the pasuk would be telling us that when there's an oros, the father himself is able to be made for, if he's by himself, not in the presence of an oros, would it be necessary to say, again, the fact that Torah specifically spells out in the first case of a naira that's not marirasa, that the father can cancel the nedarim, implies that it's not just something that we could have learned by a kavachomer from the second time, because the second time, even though he can cancel them, he needs the husband together with him. So not like we just thought, and maybe he could do it all by himself. Okay, so now the Gemara sort of flips the assumption at around 180 degrees. Fine, if you're going to go that way, then maybe it means the other way around. Maybe fakept, maybe the orus is the primary one who does the hafara the second time. The father, again, maybe the father's role is limited to he could be Mekayim, and if he is, then that opposes the Oros' Hafara, and therefore the Neder is still in effect. But again, if the father were to be quiet, nothing happens. The other one, the Hafara of the Oros by itself is enough. So we're sort of flipping its assumption around. Now, given that we established that the father's role the second time around is not as strong as the first one, then maybe let's weaken it altogether. The same way as we wanted to think that the Oros's thing, that the Oros's role is weakened in that second case, that his role is limited only to being able to be Mekayim or that's it. Maybe let's say the same thing about the father. So maybe say the other way around. The father, in order to be Mefer, needs the Oros. But the Oros can be made for by himself. Again, the same idea. The same idea, in other words, that the Oros all by himself could be made for if the father doesn't say anything. If the father is Mekayim, and that's the next thing. Fine, you're going to say, then why does the Torah write the word father? Now, it doesn't actually say the father in the second section. But again, we have that Vav Moisif on the Nunushin, so it's as if the father is mentioned there. So then again, you would argue, Miboriladim Hakim, Di Hakim Hakim. So fine, you would say the same thing. That maybe it means that he has the power to be Mekayim, by saying good for you, but not the power to just pocket veto it by not saying anything, and that oppose the husband's hafara. The answer is, can't say that. Imkain base ishonadora, the Mayakosov. Then in that case, why would the Torah have to tell us the same argument in reverse? Now let's go to the third case, where the Torah says the husband alone can cancel the neder. Then why would it need to tell us that? Again, kavachomer, ma'akum av orus mefer. How much more so if in the second case you're going to argue the orus has most of the power and he can cancel the neder all by himself without the father's consent? So how much more so he would be able to by himself in the third case when she's in Nesua. Again, by the same logic, the fact that the Torah spell out by Nesua that the husband is able to cancel the neder by himself implies that in the second case, that going back to case when she's only in Arusa, that he is able to cancel it, but he needs the father to cancel it as well. Okay. Ema in base isha nadara loyma she'en abal mefer b'kaidmin. Fine. Let's argue, going back to our argument that we mentioned before, that maybe let's say that the third case of in base isha nadara, if she made the neder in her husband's house, means that the husband is not able to be made for but for nadarim that existed before the marriage. Umine, and the point is
when she
that
with the father.
No, yeah, well when she yeah, yeah. umine, and then we would derive from that the argument we were just using, we were trying to use the argument that once the Torah tells us that the father can be Nefer all by himself when she's a Nidah before Eirusin, implies that the next time around he doesn't have the whole power, he has to share it with the Arus. Then we used the argument, we said the other way around, the same thing, because it says the third time by the husband can be Nefer by himself, therefore that implies the second time he can only do it together with the father. But there is a critical difference, because the father can be Nefer, by the father is not really Shaykh Koidman, he was always her father. By the husband, there is this concept of Koidman, that he can't be Nefer by Koidman. So you can't use the same argument exactly in the same way. You could say that, yes, the fact that the Torah had to spell it out in the first case teaches us that in the second case he doesn't have the whole role to play, otherwise it wouldn't have been mentioned in the first place, because it would be a kavachomer. But you can't use that kavachomer from the third time to the second time, because you could say the Torah had to write it the third time for a different thing, to tell us that, unlike the father, and unlike the others for that matter, the husband can't be made for b'koyman. What would we say, in other words, any neder that she made before the marriage? In other words, to oppose this kavachomer, you want to argue, because the Torah says the third time around that the husband alone can be mefer, that implies that the previous time, when she's only in Arusa, that it has to be that he can't do it by himself, otherwise the Torah wouldn't have had to write it the third time. No. Maybe the Torah actually has to repeat it twice, because in the second case, he's able to be made for the Koidman, he's able to be made for on prior Nadarim, and in the third case, not. So that would destroy our Kavachomer.
When
she's in Arusa, he's able to be made for the Koidman, the third time, not. So maybe that's what the third time is telling us. So you can't make that Kavachomer. You can't say the Torah wrote it by the third time, therefore Allah is kind of a time we can learn from it for the second time. Or the other way around, the fact that the Torah tells us by the second time, how much more so by the third time. No, because the third time the Torah might have to tell us for a different reason, to tell us this din that ain't a Baal made for the Koidman. So you've destroyed the Kavachomer. And the Gemara answers that. Very simple. That's the answer. Umine, well, let's use your argument itself. What are you telling me? What are you telling me then? You're saying that you want to argue the third time when the Torah is telling us is to tell us that the Oros has an advantage over a full husband. In the second case, the Oros has a certain advantage over the full fledged husband, namely that the Oros can be made for the Koidman. Now, why would that be Elalav Mishum Shutfusidah? The logic is that's exactly it. Yes. If you want to argue that the reason why the Torah tells us that the third time is to tell us that the husband has that weakness, that he can't be made for the Koidman, you know why. Why does he have that weakness relative to the Arus? It has to be because the Arus has an advantage in the fact that he's joined together with the father. And therefore, since the father, there's no Koidman relevant, because the father was always her father, therefore the Arus joins in that as well. Yes, the very fact that the Oros has an advantage over the husband proves the point that we were trying to make. That, with an Arusa, you need both of them together, because that exactly explains the difference that we just said, why the Oros can be made for the Koidman and the Baal cannot. We've proved logically that in the case of the Arusa, you need both of them. So there's an... What?
When you say the Arus cannot go over Koidman.
The Arus can go over Koidman. So in other words, if she made, remember, this whole concept of Hafara, remember, only applies, so again, they have until the end of the day, but only to the end, they have till the end of the day from when they heard of the Neder.
Right.
So if she made a Neder last week, before the Kedushin,
right.
Now on the day of the Kedushin, on the day of the Kedushin, the father and the husband hear that she made this neder. The father and the Oros hear that she made this neder. They're able to cancel it. The father himself would have been able. So she made the neder on Sunday. Monday she was niskadish. Tuesday, the father and the husband hear about it. Now, if the father himself had heard about it on Sunday before the Kedushin, of course he could have canceled it. the fact that they, the fact that the artist and the father only heard about it after the kiddushin, fine, that's fine. They can still be made for it. The power that the father has on Koidman, because there's no Koidman, she's always his daughter, that power is transferable to the artist as well, and therefore the artist has the same power, precisely because the two of them have to do it in concert. As opposed to, if now she gets married on Wednesday, at that point nobody's heard of the neder yet. So, and now on Thursday, for the first time, the husband hears that his wife made the neder. He can't be made for it. That's the difference. So precisely that exact difference between the artist and the father, that itself neatly explains why does the Baal lose that power that the artist had, precisely because the point that we've been trying to prove over here, that the artist has to do it together with the father. So there's a sicha in the back of Chelik Beis of the Chota Sichas where the Rebbe analyzes this din. So why Taka B'Pnimei Seinyanim? Why indeed does the artist have a power that the husband doesn't have? So our Gemara is saying over here the logic behind it is because the artist is doing it together with the father. The first is like this. Rebbe said the difference between we know marriage consists of two stages. You have Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin is basically that the at that point, after the Erusin, the woman is off-limits to everybody. Up until now, she was mutter to any yid in the world. Now she becomes oster to everybody, including to her own arus. What happens? Then you have Nisuin, where she's mutter to her arus, and now they become the hoyul b'afrecha. They become one, they have relations, and they become one flesh. In Avoda, On a national level, you have Erusin is what we're in now, and Carlos and Nisurin is what we'll have in Moshe Mashiach. But on a personal level also, you have Erusin is... Nowadays, we're like Erusin. It's like we don't have the full Nisurin yet with Eivishta, so to speak.
But we were married.
Okay, but... Okay, so it's like Machzor Gushos, kind of, whatever. The point is that we're not in that, at that close level. But on a personal level, you also have, on a personal level, a person can be thought of as an artist when he's reached the point that he's been able to separate himself from the gashmius and the negativity of this world, but not yet to become close, to become miyuchad with the Eishter, to become the actors with the Eishter. Whereas Nisuin would represent when a person is on that high level. Now, what happens, though, when a person is in a state of Nisuin, when a person has reached that level, that they're the actors with the Eishter, they may think to themselves, like the Baal does, like the Baal does, well, in that case, I don't need the Av anymore. I don't need anybody. I'm able to do everything now under my own steam. As opposed to the Arus... the Arusa is somebody who realizes, because I haven't yet reached that point, I haven't yet reached that level of closeness to the Eivishta, I've been able to separate myself from the Ra, but I haven't yet... I've been able to do Sur Me Ra, but not yet Vasei Tov. Therefore, I know I need the Eivishta's help. That's the equivalent of saying that the artist has to join together with the father. So what does that do? Because the artist has to join together with the father, meaning because this person realizes that he needs the Eivishter's help, that gives him the koyach on the koidmin. What are the koidmin? Well, we know there's an olam hatikun that we live in, and there's olam hatohu which comes before it. That's koidmin. The yetzahara and all of the evil in the world comes from tohu. The root of it is from olam hatohu. So therefore, the artist, the person who realizes that he still depends on the Eivishter to help him in his avodah, he has the power over that koidman. He has the power over what comes from olam hatohu. As opposed to the Baal, the person who thinks I've reached the ultimate level. I'm at one with the Eivishter. I'm independent. He doesn't have the power over koidman. He has the power, fine. He has the power to work on the here and now, but not necessarily to go and then transform the Yetzihara and the Sitra Achra and everything that comes that goes way back to Olam HaTohu. And that's the verse that a person always has to realize. The Molech Kadosh Baruch Hu Oizra Ein Yochalo. That if the Eibush doesn't help a person with the Yetzihara, then he'd never be able to withstand him. And therefore, a person needs to feel more in the state of an Ardos rather than the state of a Nosu, a Baal.
Even if he's
a Nosu, yeah, he still needs to. Yeah. Kiisha Shalom Bible and Netzayan.
Yeah, what's that like? How can you give the get and take it away?
We'll learn about that extensively in Gittin. I mean, it does have to be that the get reaches the wife's reshus.
It did. You gave it to her. So that is,
you know what? Fine. I mean, we could talk about it a while, but let's say, for example, I'm going to give you an example. The Gemara describes there in Gittin, imagine a husband gives his wife a get, but there's a string attached to it, and the string is strong enough attached to the get. And he's holding one end of the string in his hand, and the string is strong enough that he could pull and schlep the get right back to him. Then the get is not halal. Because he has the power to pull it back. It wasn't a hurter shoes, but he was holding.
The point in the context of the medrash,
the point is that the Eibishter is sort of saying, you don't have any proof that I separated from you, therefore you can't go and worship other gods or join other religions.
Right,
or whatever.
Right.
Fine.
Strictly halakhically.
But strictly halakhically, so then maybe.
It's not halakhically. You didn't ask the Eibishter, give me,
strictly halakha, maybe it's just.
No, I know, but I'm asking halakhically.
So if you tackle want to know, I think it would be comparable to this case of a string. The Eibishter is kol yachol. The Eibishter always has everything under his control. Therefore, how can he give a get in a way that he can't schlep it back? Inevitably.
The Eibishter, yes.
Yes, so therefore, the get is not a get. Therefore, we're not truly divorced from the Eibishter. For us, for a human being, yeah. If you pull on the string and it breaks, then the get is a get.
Because it's still a get.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But if the get
is pulled away from her.
If you gave it to her with a string, yeah. With a string attached, and you were able to pull it back with the string, then the get is not a get.
No, but you gave it to her, but she's
the. Yeah, you're talking in terms of the marriage.
Right.
Right.
Really?
We'll learn about it in a few months.
With a string,
relax, we'll get there, then we'll get there and get in there.